for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, February the 15th, 2014. Carla Butad is the speaker of this service, teaching on order, position, and authority.
Come on, Carla, please come. Kevin's been over there. I want to hear Carla. The testimonies are wonderful. They're just wonderful. And I know how much Carla loves to hear the testimonies.
Well, Lord, we do just thank you for all of the testimonies that we've heard tonight. So take that, devil. By the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimonies, we overcome him. And it is encouraging to hear people's testimonies. Well, I enjoyed Merrill's story about his meeting his sweetheart. It reminded me of the days when I met my sweetheart. How long did it take you to kiss her? I waited 6 months for my husband to kiss me. I was about crazy. Every day my mother would say, well, did he kiss you? I said, no. I don't want to be aggressive, but if he's going to hurry up and kiss me. And Mike said, I knew if I ever kissed you, I would have to marry you. And we've been married 38 years. Isn't that something? 38 years. And we're still kissing. He's the funniest guy I know. I just love him. I called him the other morning and he went, oh. I said, what? He said, I like your text. I said, well, hang on. I'll send you a text. You know, the other night when the moon was so beautiful, he sent me a text that just said, moon. No miscommunication there. Well, actually, I was going to talk tonight. I am going to shorten it. But first, I'm going to bind some spirits before I start. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I take authority. I thank you for giving me power over all the power of the enemy. I bind every religious spirit, spirits of offense, antichrist spirits, rebellion, lying spirits, man-hating spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All blocking spirits, hindering spirits, perversion, witchcraft spirits, mind-binding spirits, deception, and mind-blinding spirits. And I lose right now the spirit of truth, understanding, revelation, knowledge, ears to hear, open hearts to receive, willingness to obey your word, the blessings of God. Not only be hearers, but doers of your word, because obedience always brings blessings. I bless everyone tonight in Jesus' name. I told Jerry I might have to ask the sun to stand still. And the moon. I'm into that. I said, oh, Lord, that is a beautiful moon. I bind every spirit that draws its power from the full moon in Jesus' name. And the water, and the earth, and fire, and the wind. My father-in-law has Alzheimer's. And he, you know, they obsess. They get stuck on something, and it's like a chicken on a June bug. You just hear it, and 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 hear it. And I was staying with him, and he was worried about the taxes on their property. And his mother had explained it. And I said, I'll take it. So I opened up the map and I showed him all this stuff. And I said, now, do you understand? And he goes, I think so. So I rolled up the map and I was headed back to the desk, and he's right behind me. I just have one more question. I said, what is that? Have we paid the taxes on the property? And I just stuck my finger in the middle of his forehead. And I said, I bind that thought from entering your head again in Jesus' name. And he goes, you sure you keep him busy? I said, yes, I do. I do. I keep him busy. When I stay there at night, I'm in that bedroom and I'm pointing to where his chair is. And I said, I bind that night roaming spirit in the name of Jesus, and I stand the angels of God around him, and if he moves to get up, push him down. I bind him to that chair in the name of Jesus. Well, he doesn't roam when I'm there. I'm serious. I told Mike, you just need to use your power, honey. Okay. That was a freebie. But, you know, you can do that. You can bind those spirits. Well, God's recently been talking to me about order, position, and authority. It's taken me a long time to understand order, position, and authority. But if you can get it, it's a good thing, a very good thing. The word order means to arrange in an orderly manner, that is, assign or dispose to a certain position or lot, appoint, ordain, set. It is an established mode of proceeding. Position means state of being placed, situated, often with reference to other objects or to different parts of the same object. Like, you know, if you're putting something together. I remember when our kids were really little and we had to put all that stuff together. I mean, you have to do it in order or it doesn't work right. Then you have to go back and undo it and do it again. Authority is the legal power or a right to command or to act as the authority of a prince over subjects and of parents over children. It means power, rule, sway, to have or wield full privilege over. Exercise authority, prominence, that is figuratively, superiority in rank or character, authority, excellency. You've heard people say, Your Excellency, you know, to the royal people. Yes, Your Excellency. Okay, that has to do with authority. Okay, so I want y'all to listen with those three things in mind: order, position, and authority. Because as I mentioned the other night, when it comes to women, some of these scriptures that I will be using, in fact, I was gonna title this, Wives, Reverence Your Husbands. I thought I better change that. So everybody didn't go. Because really, those scriptures have been so misused. And women have been abused. And it's funny to me that every man, whether he is a Christian or not, knows that wives are to submit to their husbands. But we're going to talk about it in reference to order, position, and authority. And when you see what it really means, and when we submit to God's order, it's wonderful. I haven't always been a submissive wife. Let's see. God set up the order of the earth. Genesis 1:1. Then God set up order in the family. Then God set up order in the church. How many of you know that God is a God of order? So the text for this message, I'm going to begin in Ephesians chapter 5, because this is the scripture that God really spoke to me about order. And it's verse 23, I'm going to start at 23. And it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, if I knew how to do PowerPoint, I would have it up there and give y'all a little grammar lesson, a little English lesson. Because, and to make sure I wasn't getting this wrong, I pulled up every word Savior in the New Testament. Every one, and it was used 24 times, and every one of them, except this one, is capitalized. Because the capital S, Savior, is Jesus Christ. But in this text, in the King James, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ," and there's a comma. So I learned that when there was a comma and then another comma, that meant you could take that part out of the sentence and it would still be correct. So, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now we're going to leave out, "even as Christ is the head of the church," and go on with the sentence that is correct. And the husband is the subject, the noun there. And he is the Savior, little s, of the body, little b. And that really spoke to me one day. And I got to thinking on that, and I realized, wow, that is powerful. That my husband in the home is the head of me and the little body, his family, even as Christ is head of the church. He has the same priestly anointing and power in the house that Christ has in the church. That is so awesome. Do our husbands know that? No. Do the wives know that? Well, I know Ralph knows it. And there are some husbands who do know that. But across the board, Christian men do not know that. And neither do Christian women. I had to learn that. You know, I'm not even going to really go by my notes until I'm just going to talk to y'all. Because it says that, let me see if I can remember what I was going to say. That's why I have notes. Well, I'll just have to get to it later. So, that therefore in 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, what I was fixing to say is, what was it, Lord? Of course, the church is subject unto Christ. Oh, there is a scripture that says that the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands and children. You wouldn't think that would be something that needed to be taught, but it needs to be taught. So if I can pass some of this to the younger women, your husbands will be very happy. And so will you. Because the order and the position of things has a purpose. When we get out of the position that God has put us in, we lose our authority. And we don't have the authority to take the position that we're trying to take. Without order, there is chaos. Genesis 1 verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void." Now, my marriage, when we first married, was like anybody else's marriage. Most people come from their homes with their moms and dads, if they had moms and dads. Some just had a mom or a dad. But what we tend to do is take that picture and reproduce it. And in many cases, what we had there was not something that should have been reproduced, because it's ever so slightly missing the mark. So when we bring those things into our marriages, however, my mother and daddy had a very good marriage. And my daddy was the head of the house. No question about that. If Mama told me to go do something and I just barely raised my voice to go, now I have to do it. Hey, that's all my daddy had to say. From another room, hey, and that was. I knew that I was to mind my daddy. She would get Mama trouble. But I knew when my daddy said, he meant it. He never abused me, never hurt me. But my daddy understood authority. And many men don't understand authority, not God-given authority, especially. So I would venture to say that as I read those scriptures, there would be something that would rise up in some women. It would be an offense to them to hear that the husband is the head of the wife because of the way it's been misused. And the trouble with that, and I'm finding this not only with this particular scripture, but with many scriptures in the Word, because the devil has perverted them and misused them, the power in them is never realized. And that is a shame. Of course, all of us women know that the husbands are, yeah, but the husbands are supposed to love the wife. See, this is what happens. We get in this tit-for-tat thing. You know, I found it interesting that when I got married, I was so happy to be married. I waited all my life to be married. And it was like he just changed mothers. I'm serious. I was just cleaning house and cooking and doing everything his mother did. Well, of course, except, you know, the wifely duties. Which I'm going to tell something on Glenn. Mike sometimes, he'll text it to me. Don't forget, I have my rights. Glenn told him that. He's not here. But that, I thought that was so cute. And Mike said, I know. But anyway, Mike texted me, don't forget I have my rights. And I said, I willingly submit. Okay. So, I'm going to skip down the way. Okay, here's one. Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 1 Peter 3:7 says it like this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now there's another something men should know. Your prayers are hindered if you don't treat us right. So, you know, the men are not here, but that's one that they need to hear. But we all know that we are not the weaker vessel, right? Now, we may not be as physically strong, but we are not the weaker vessel. But in order for us to be honored as the weaker vessel, we have to choose to surrender or submit our strength to their strength. I refer back to the definition of subject, subordinate. That means under, but not in the way it's been misused. It means inferior, in order only. Submit self unto, to surrender, to yield without murmuring. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence means to frighten, that is passively, to be alarmed, by analogy to be in awe of, that is revere, be afraid, fear, exceedingly reverence, give or show respect, Revere means to regard with fear mingled with respect and affection. See, that doesn't come from the bad kind of fear. To honor in estimation. Now remember, I'm talking about order, position, and authority. I'm not talking about women being dominated. I'm not talking about women laying down to be dominated. But the need for the scriptures to be presented correctly. Why? Because Satan has perverted them. And it's done a lot of damage. He's perverted the true meaning of the scriptures to the extent that men and women rebel against their positions. And as a result, marriages, homes, and families, and even the church are in a mess. You know who understands order and position and authority? You walk into a courtroom. You know when it gets a little out of hand? Order in the court. Order in the court. And I mean, people shut up. Because the judge knows his authority. He knows his position. And he knows the order that the court is supposed to be in. It's important. So, looking at the church, remembering that the corporate church consists of smaller bodies, family units coming together to worship. Satan knows that if he can destroy the family, he can destroy the church. Families today, there are as many varieties of family settings as there are potato chips. The order has been lost in the family for the most part. We have the traditional family, which is a man and a woman who marry and have children. Then we have the family that consists of a mother and father who never married and they have children. And then we have single mothers with children. And we have single fathers with children. We have two dads with children. We have two moms with children. We have the mother with children and her live-in boyfriend, who she calls her fiancé. But there's no plan for a wedding or marriage. They're redefining everything. That's what I love about the Bible. It doesn't change. The laws of the land change. The speed limit changes. Everything changes. But God's Word never changes. Amen. And I don't care how much they change things, God's Word is never going to change. And I'm sure there are scenarios. The father with children and his living girlfriend. Years ago, things were very clear. Men were men and women were women. There was the occasional exception to the rule, but not like today. Today we have men who are men that are men, and they are attracted to women. I had to do a little studying on this. Those are called heterosexuals. Sexually oriented to the opposite sex. Now we have men, but in their minds, they're really women. They're trapped in a man's body. Those are called transgenders. Appearing as, wishing to be, considered as, or having undergone surgery to become a member of the opposite sex. We have men who are attracted to other men instead of women. Homosexuals, gays, sexually attracted to members of your own sex. We have men who dress up as women. Those are called transvestites. Or if they do it for entertainment, a drag queen. Now the transvestite actually derives sexual pleasure from dressing up as a woman. I didn't know that. It's not just dressing as a woman. It gives them sexual pleasure to dress as the opposite sex. Then we have men sexually attracted to both sexes. Those are bisexuals. Could describe one who possesses the reproductive organs of both sexes, which is a hermaphrodite. Now we have women who are real women attracted to men, heterosexual. Women who in their minds are really men trapped in a woman's body, transgender. Women who are attracted to other women instead of men, homosexuals, gay, lesbian. Then we have the butch, that's the male-like lesbian, and the femme, which is the lesbian exhibiting feminine traits, or the feminine homosexual gay male is also called a femme. Women who are attracted to both sexes, the bisexual. Today, now years ago, those abnormal mindsets my highlighting is kind of dark, so it almost looks like it's worked out. So these abnormal mindsets used to be unacceptable and ostracized by society, and yet today they're called alternative lifestyles. Yeah. See how friendly they made it friendly. And are not only accepted, but embraced and even encouraged until there's utter confusion in the land. And we know that God is not the author of confusion. It's perversion, it's deception. It's a modern day picture of Sodom and Gomorrah. And can you imagine the confusion of the children? Thinking that what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. And Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I've already had to have a talk with my 8-year-old granddaughter because there's commercials on TV of women kissing and men kissing. And, you know, I don't want her to think that that's okay. I opened up the Word and I read it to her. I said, "You know what? You need to know that it doesn't matter what your teacher thinks or what your preacher thinks, but it's what God thinks. Amen. Always look to see what God thinks about it. Then you can always be right." Okay, so when order is removed, there's chaos. That's how we find the earth in Genesis 1 without form and void. God had to what? Put things in order. Heavens, earth, day, night, seasons, stars, moon, all that. He put it in order. And if we're not following the order God has instituted, we are out of order. Order, position, and authority. So because of that, mine and Mike's marriage became like Genesis 1:2, without form and void. I mean, after a while, we had played all the games and, you know, did everything the wrong way, and it was disastrous. I don't remember who was up here and said I was going to leave. Many times I've tried to leave. Can't tell you how many times I slapped a suitcase on the bed and filled it with some, got in the car only to get about 4 miles down the road and God would say, "Go home." And I'm like, "Really? I'm so glad I stayed." Because, you know, you can bail out and go down to the next fella. Yeah. And you just play the same game, different character. It's true. So here I was, a young wife, a mother of three and three years. And we were going to Christian family camps. So dear sweet aunt who took us to these camps, and it was always such fun to go, and there were lots of older women there. I was in my, like, maybe 28, 29. And, wait, Kaylee was 2, so I was 31 or 32. And when we would get together and pray, "Well, honey, what do you need prayer for?" "Oh, please pray for my husband. He's not saved." And, you know, they would pray, but later in the day, one of those older ladies would come up next to me and just say, "Honey, just reverence your husband." Another would come up, "Sweetie, just love him." And I'm like, "Oh, wait, it's not me. It's him. But you know what? The problem wasn't all me, but it was a lot me. He needed to learn too. So it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if," listen to this, "if any obey not the word." Now we're talking about an unbeliever. "That if any obey not the word, they also may," without the word, not your word, but the word, "without the word, be won by the conversation /behavior, that's what it means, "of the wives." Then it says, "while they behold your chaste conversation," or behavior, "coupled with fear," godly fear, "whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel." And that doesn't mean you make a doctrine out of that. God created the earth, right? He didn't leave it a big old brown dirt ball. He gave grass and mountains and flowers and clouds and butterflies and trees and all kinds of trees and fruit. And I mean, He made it beautiful. And you know, God, Jerry said a scripture this morning that I heard, that God wants to bounce you on His maternal knee, right? That's a mama's knee. Because God is complete. He's totally male and female together. So when He made Adam, He made Adam just like Himself. Adam was, he possessed all the estrogen and all the testosterone. So when God made Eve, because Adam needed a mate, he was lonely. He had all the animals, but that's no good. So God puts him to sleep, takes a rib, forms a woman, and brings her to Him. Don't you know He was excited to see her? She was a totally different species. And we are. But He took, when He made Eve, He took everything, well, not everything, almost, because men do have a little bit of estrogen. A little bit. So He took most of the estrogen when He made Eve, and with that came emotions and intuition and the ability to decorate and beautify. And all those things, a man, he'll get up and put on the thing he wore yesterday that's all wrinkled. They don't even care. But see, God took that out when He made Eve. That's why a man needs a woman. See, when you moved into your house, you didn't leave the windows with no curtains. Now, a man would be there to throw a towel over it. But no, because God put that in us. He made us different than men. I like being a woman. I used to not, because I thought, man, the men have got it made. We have children, but who carries it? Who has to give birth to it? I thought about that when somebody was up here talking about how hard things are, but it's worth it. You know, it's just like anything you birth is going to be that way. Anything you birth, there's going to be labor and pain. So, enjoy, embrace being a woman. But ask God to help you where you need to learn your position. I made all the decisions at first. Well, He was playing, you know, so somebody had to make the decisions. So I made all the decisions. I did all the work, it seemed. I mowed the grass because He was playing baseball or whatever. So, you know, But that really was something I strove for. I'm going to show you in the scripture where that came from. In Genesis chapter 3. Now I'm going to cast some things out of you, because this is a problem in marriages. And not only marriages, but with your employers, with your dads, with your brothers, with your guy friends. These can all be causing problems for you. We know that Adam was right there with Eve when she ate the apple. Okay, so then in Genesis 3, after it was done, in verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Why? Because shame came in and guilt. So they tried to cover their own sin themselves with a fig leaf. Now, some of us are walking around with fig leaves because we're still trying to cover our own sin instead of just going to Jesus and letting Him do it for you. He wants to do that for you. So they hid themselves. See, fear came in. We had guilt. We had shame. Now we have fear. It says, the Lord God called unto Adam in verse 9 and said, "Where are ye?" And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." See, when you do something wrong, you want to hide. That's what children do. You know, you can always, you walk in, they're hiding. What have you done? You look around the room. What happened? That's what we do. Some of us still do that. Okay, and then in verse 12, God said in verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman. That woman. Blamed her. And then he blamed, or he may have said it like this, the woman you gave me. See, we blame. We want to blame the man, and we want to blame somebody else, or we want to blame God. So we have blame that comes in, hiding. Okay, so then the curse came. I'm going to skip what he said to the serpent, but he says this to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Right there, it came into every woman. Through Eve, there's an innate defiance. He will not rule over me. Rebellion came in, and defiance came in. Anger came in. I wondered if before the fall, we only had a certain amount of children that we would have. But because of the fall, now you're going to have multiplied sorrow. Yep. I just wondered about that. I'm not saying that's what that means, but I just wondered about that. Okay, and then to Adam he says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and right there came into every man, I am never listening to another word, she says. Isn't that one of our complaints? He won't listen to me. This is where it came in, right there. You could spend the rest of your life in Genesis and never cover it all. It is just amazing. And every time I start to do something, I have to go back to Genesis. I'm like, will I ever get out of Genesis? So here I was with these three children, and all of these things were operating in me. Defiance. I didn't like being the woman. There was nothing meek and quiet about me. In 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. There was nothing meek and quiet about me. I followed him around ranting and raving. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. Remember that. Remember that phrase, because that's going to be a biggie. Who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. I nagged, I ranted, I raved about him getting saved. You need to get saved. I treated him like an old heathen. And he was really a pretty good guy. Actually, he had more Christian attributes, not being saved, than I did as the saved wife. That was pretty bad. I nagged him. Nag is to annoy by constant scolding, complaining, or urging. To torment persistently as with anxiety or pain. A ranter is a noisy talker, a boisterous preacher. You know, Mike, he won't refer to me when people say, oh, you preach. No, she teaches. She's not a preacher. And I save all my preaching for home. I quoted scripture to him every chance I got. I did everything I could except hit him over the head with the Bible. I was so self-righteous, and I let him know at every opportunity, you need Jesus. And things like this will put a wedge between you and your husband. 1 Corinthians 7 says, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And one day that hit me, and I thought, you know, if he's sanctified because of my relationship with God, then I'm going to start treating him like he's already saved. And when I started, 2 weeks after I did that, he accepted Christ as his Savior. After 22 years of nagging, ranting, raving, 2 weeks. Okay, Sanctified means to make holy, that is ceremonially purify or consecrate, mentally to venerate, hallow, be holy, sanctify, sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religiously ceremonially consecrated, most holy, saint. So, if you want your husband to be saved, love him into the kingdom. Don't nag him. Love him. Reverence him. And give him his position. His God-given position in the order that God set up with the authority that goes with that position. Now, he didn't even know he had authority. You know, I prayed. A girl called me on the phone one time. She wanted me to pray for her baby. I said, well, where is your husband in this? He's not even a believer. And, you know, I dealt with her. But later I told Mike, I said, do you guys even know how frustrating it is for us to know that what our man is supposed to be and he doesn't have a clue? It's like living with Superman but having Clark Kent all the time. And Mike said, I like that, honey. You need to use that. I said, I'm waiting for you to get in the phone with Clark. Come on. Where is my Superman? He said, I'm getting there. I said, he is. But, you know, it would be so much better if this were taught to men early on. You know, that we have all these Sunday school classes, all these programs in churches, and oh my goodness, where is it where the older men that are in the right order position and authority teaching the younger men, and the women teaching the older women teaching the younger women, so that the family can be healthy, so that the church can be healthy? I use this as an example. The President of the United States, the day before he is sworn in, he has no power. None. I don't care who it is. But the minute they take the office of the President of the United States, they have all the presidential power that belongs to that position. Just like that. Just like that. And that's what order, position, and authority is all about. In the home, I've already said, the husband has the same priestly anointing and power that Jesus Christ has in the church. That's why we should revere him. He has the power. Not to dictate, but to protect. So if you get sick, go to your husband. He's the priest. Let him pray for you. The order in the church is, if any of you are sick, call on the elders of the church. It doesn't say call your nearest doctor. There's an order. God set up an order. And the person in the position has the authority to get the job done. I was on a jet one time with this policeman from Houston. And he was raised in the church. We sat by each other on the plane. And he got to telling me his story. Because I had written... I was writing a book, and I went to a writer's conference, and I had to bring one chapter, so I had this chapter about being healed of depression, miraculously. And he read it. He said, do you have anything you wrote? So I gave it to him, and he read it, and he said, you know, I think God meant for us to sit together. And I said, really, why? He said, because I also had a miracle healing. And I said, I want to hear about it. Well, he had this little nodule come up on the roof of his mouth. Didn't hurt. But it bothered him, you know, but it kept growing and growing until he had trouble chewing his food and swallowing. So he finally went to the doctor, and it was malignant. And they sat him down and told him all of his options, and he didn't like any of them. So he remembered, he was raised in church, but after he got married, they didn't go to church, didn't raise their kids in church. He had just put his Bible up on the shelf, and that's where it stayed. And he went on with his life. But he went and found his Bible and looked up scriptures about sickness, and found James 5:14. And then he called a church in town that he knew did that. The church he was raised in didn't do that, but he knew a church down the road that did. So he called them and said, hey, I was wondering if the elders would pray for me, anoint me with oil and pray for me because I have cancer. And they discussed it and decided that they would do it. So here he is. Now, a lot of people, you know, oh, yeah, you don't give God the time of day. And now, hey, God doesn't care. Jesus healed them all. And it's the greatest, one of the greatest evangelistic tools. You look at every place in the Bible where Jesus healed somebody, they wanted to follow him. And they got up and the people glorified God. They didn't even glorify Jesus. Jesus was, but they glorified God because they knew that heaven had touched whoever it was. God had healed. So this fella went to that church and they prayed for him. He knelt down. His wife thought he had lost his mind. So she sat down on the very back pew as soon as they walked in. He went down there, knelt. They anointed him, prayed for him. They stood back. Anything? No. So they anointed and prayed again until one of the older fellows said, okay, now listen. We've done what the Word said. The rest of it is up to God. And the man was like, no, don't quit. But he got up and he was walking back down the aisle to his wife and the thing just disappeared out of his mouth. Just left, just like that. And he had a screaming hallelujah. And all of the elders did too. And now, of course, they're all in church. All their kids got saved. They're all in church. That's what it's for. But see, the order, the position, and the authority. And when we respect things like that, you know, the case of Naaman in the Old Testament. There was a little Hebrew girl that had been taken captive and was a slave for Naaman's wife. And she said about Naaman having leprosy, I know a man. I would that he could go to him. So Elijah is who she was talking about. And he went, and of course Elijah sent a servant out to give the message. And, you know, sometimes we have to deal with our pride and our expectations and all of those things to get what we want from God. What are you willing to do to get what you want from God? So the servant came out and gave the message for him to go dip 7 times in the river. And he was insulted that Elijah had not come out himself. And the little servant said, but if he had come out and said, do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Just do it. So he did it. The order, he didn't stop at 3, 4, 5. He did in the exact order that Elijah told him to do it, and he came up clean. See, the position, the order, the position, and the authority. So we would do well to recognize God's order, the position, and the authority. Sometimes we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble by not recognizing the order and the position and the authority. You know, people are always wanting to go into a place and change it. And they're not even, they have no authority there. If you don't have a position there, there's no responsibility that is yours. And yet, they want the authority to change things. And people are always getting in trouble that way. There is an order. There are positions, and there's authority that goes with the position. And if you have no position, you have no authority. So just chill. And get what God wants you to have. But see, when we don't understand order, position, and authority, we get out of position. We try to use authority that we don't have. Then we end up getting offended or getting our feelings hurt and going somewhere else and trying the same thing, and it just happens over and over. Okay. I was in my husband's position, and it was causing chaos. So God had to teach me how to get in my own position. When I was crying out to him one day, when, Lord, when will he ever become the head of this house? And God said, when you get out of it. I was shocked. But I did, you know, when I looked at it, I could see. So he can't get in his position if you're in it. You have to learn to submit your strength to his. When you begin to recognize his position and the authority that goes with that position, he'll begin to, I call it putting a demand on the power, his position, his authority. So I started going to him, and I tell you what, that is the greatest protection. I love it now. So like when I go to a meeting and there's some lady who wants to rule me, you know, oh, the Lord told me we're going to be very good friends. And I said, really? Well, we'll see. He didn't tell me that. I didn't tell her that. But, you know, and then she called me up. Oh, I want you to go to this meeting with me. Oh, it's over and so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And I said, are you married? And she said, yeah. What does that have to do with anything? I said, well, I'm going to have to talk to my husband. I didn't want to go. I knew I had her number. God's given me discernment. I'm learning. Of course, I learned discernment by a lot of suffering. But anyway, I learned. And so I would say, well, I'll have to talk to my husband. And so I'd say, well, this lady, you know, he was at the meeting too. He said, you're going to have to watch her. He already knew. So when I said, so-and-so wants me to go to this meeting, and he said, I don't think so. I said, thank you, honey. Thank you, honey. See, so, and even sometimes, like, one time I got an invitation somewhere, I really wanted to go, really wanted to go. And this was in the early days before everything was in order. And in earlier years, I would have just said, these days, I'm going thus and such. Okay. Well, so now I'm submitting to my husband as unto the Lord, which means I go to the Lord first. Lord, I have this opportunity, and I really, really want to go. In fact, I need to go. But, I mean, I needed a break. You know, it was a retreat. I need it, Lord. Okay? So I'm going to ask Mike, and I'm going to trust you to give him the answer that you want to give me. I'm going to trust you to give him the right answer for me. And whatever he tells me, I will receive it like it came from you. That's submitting unto the Lord. And you're going to submit unto your husband, but as unto the Lord. See, it takes all of the other icky stuff away so that you can do that. So Mike came home. I mean, this was the first time I did this. So Mike came home, and it was Thanksgiving, and I knew he was not going to want me to leave the family at Thanksgiving. So I told him, and he thought for a minute. He said, well, I'll be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I can watch the kids if you want to go. It'll be okay. Submission is good. But see, it's like, when I read that about Sarah and Abraham, because she trusted the Lord, the holy women of old who trusted the Lord, that was the key. They weren't so much trusting in their man. Those men were guys just like our men. But they trusted the Lord, and that is the key. It's trusting the Lord. You know that, did y'all see my big fat Greek wedding? The mother said, Tula, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck that moves the head. And I thought, well, there's a new definition for manipulation. But I knew what she meant, because she understood that she needed to present it to him so that it was his idea. And she did. There was a problem, and she just told him about the problem. And then he says, I know. And it was exactly what they all wanted. You know, but there's wisdom in that. I don't mean to manipulate your man, because we're not to do that. But I understood what she meant. See, women have a power and authority, but only if they are in their position in the order that God ordained. Now, if all marriages were like that, all marriages would be beautiful. The husband would love the wife as he loves himself. The woman would easily submit because she knows that he loves her just like he loves himself. So pray for your men. Pray for your men. Okay. Well, I am fixing to close. There's a lot more, but I think y'all get the idea. You get the idea? Order, position, and authority. God's proper order. When I was putting this down, Mike called me from the office, and I was remembering some times that I wasn't recognizing order, position, and authority. And the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was him, and I said, "Honey, I'm getting this lesson ready," and I was thinking about terrible, horrible times that we went through, and I said, "I am just so glad you stuck with me." And he said, "Oh, I was stuck all right." See, we can laugh about it now, but back in the day, it was not so funny. Not so funny. I thought I was going crazy. I was having such terrible thoughts. I thought, I need to see a psychiatrist. And I went to a psychiatrist, and he said, "I'd really like to work with you and your husband." So I went home, and I said, "Well, Mike, the doctor wants to work with both of us." And Mike said, "I don't have the problems. You have the problems." And he turned around, and I went, "You are part of the problem." But God got it done anyway. See, he can do it. Okay, so let me find my list, and we're going to do some deliverance on just a few of the spirits that haven't already been hit.
Can we stand up?
Yes, stand up. Stretch yourself. Stir up those demons. Okay, I want you to pray this prayer of repentance because, you know, I was talking about that. God had given me that title, Adam Anger, Eve Anger. I didn't know what he was talking about until I studied out Adam and Eve. And that's when he showed me that there's an innate anger in every man toward women for what Eve did. And there's an innate anger in every woman for Adam blaming Eve. So, Father, in the name of Jesus,
I forgive Adam
for blaming Eve. And I forgive Eve
for letting Satan talk her into
disobeying
your word.
Yeah, because when I realized all the trouble that I was going to have to go through because of Eve, I told God when I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to do is hunt down Eve and I'm going to punch her in the nose. He said, "Oh yeah? What would you have done if you'd been in her place? Forgive me, Lord. I would have eaten it." Okay. I usually lead when it's a husband and wife together. I usually lead the women to ask their husbands, "Honey, would you forgive me for holding you responsible for what Adam did?" You know, you think there's no big deal about that, but something happens up in the heavenlies with the demons when you do that. Huh? Well, listen, there's no distance in the spirit. Actually, though, it would be good for you to do this because it's going to change his heart. It really will. So let's practice. Honey,
would you forgive me
for holding you responsible
for what Adam did?
And then I usually, yes, very good. That's the response. And they will. And then you tell your husband, I usually lead the men to ask their wives to forgive them for holding them responsible for what Eve did. So then the Adam anger and the Eve anger is gone. You've forgiven. And all those demons and all that competition and all that power struggle and all that anger and all that blaming and all that, all of it goes. It's just really amazing. Okay. So now we're going to deal with the spirits that came in with the Adam and Eve anger. So now that they've repented, Satan, you have no legal right to continue those problems that have been caused in the marriage or in working relationships. So right now I bind and break every spirit of deception and I command it to go in Jesus' name. deception, deceiving, misleading, go in the name of Jesus. All beguiling spirits, delusion, go. Trickery, fraud, I break your power and command you to go. Error and disrespect, go. All spirits of disrespect, go in the name of Jesus. Seducing spirits, the spirit of offense, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of offense, lying and believing the lie, go in the name of Jesus. All corruption, doubt, unbelief. See, Eve had unbelief. That's why she, in doubt, she doubted God's word and believed Satan. So I come against all doubt and unbelief, go in the name of Jesus. Doubting God's word. Doubting God's word, go. Unbelief and rebellion. Rebellion against authority. God said, don't touch it. Don't eat it. He said, don't eat it. You know, we get the bad rap. Eve added, and don't touch it. But I found the scripture that says that it was told to the man. That so he told it to Eve. So if anything was added. But I'm not, I have forgiven Adam, so I'm just saying, it is written. Okay, I come against all disobedience and rebellion, rebellion against authority, disobeying authority. The lust of the eye, ooh, it looks good, I think it would be good to eat. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life to make your own decision, even against God. I command it to go. I break it now and command it to go. All fear, fear that came in the Garden of Eden, go in the name of Jesus. Self-righteousness, pride, go in the name of Jesus. Anger, betrayal, finger-pointing, self-justification, go in the name of Jesus. Trying to cover your own sin with a fig leaf, go in Jesus' name. Blame shifting, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, this, this, this. Go in the name of Jesus. All distrust and disrespect, go. Guilt, shame, guilt and shame, go in the name of Jesus. All false responsibility. See, that you don't understand your position and your authority, so you try to get in a position without the authority. That's called false responsibility, and it's going to lead to disaster and all manner of illnesses. So all false responsibility, trying to wear somebody else's yoke, go in the name of Jesus. All false responsibility, go. Insubordination, go in the name of Jesus. Criticizing, the critical spirit, criticizing authority, criticizing your leaders, in Jesus' name, you go now in Jesus' name. And all controlling spirits, go in Jesus' name. All controlling spirits, manipulating spirits, dropping hints, in Jesus' name. Okay. All bitterness, anger, resentment, go in the name of Jesus. Nagging, complaining, criticizing, tormenting, go in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I loose upon them a meek and a quiet spirit. I loose upon them trust in God. I loose upon them reverence for their husbands. I loose upon them what?
Authority.
Reverence for authority. Yes, reverence for authority. Respect for authority. In the name of Jesus. And I loose upon them love. Love for their husbands. Love for their children, and to teach them to respect their dads. I bind all spirits of perversion in the family. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of perversion. I bind all murmuring and complaining, and I loose a meek spirit. And now, Lord, I ask you to heal their relationships. I ask you to heal the marriages, Lord. Ask you to strengthen them. Strengthen the marriage so we can have strong families, so the church, your church, can be strong. And help us to teach those that are younger than we are how to love their husbands and children and how to respect the authority that their husbands have in their positions in the home, and encourage them to put a demand on their power, the priestly anointing and the power that they have in the home. Go to your husbands when you need just to ask advice about, get his point of view, his position. There's understanding, there's wisdom, there's discernment. that goes with that position. And if you begin to put a demand on it, he's going to put a demand on it too. But trust in the Lord first. Go to the Lord first with everything, and then go to your husband. Well, Lord, I just bless the women. I bless all of the word that they've heard, Lord. I just seal every seed that's been planted. We build and we plant it on the fallow ground that was broken up, all the rest of this camp. And Lord, I call for a supernatural maturity to every seed that was planted, that it will come to maturity quickly and give glory to you and glory to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, give them a good night's sleep. I bind every tormenting spirit that would bother their sleep in Jesus' name. Amen.
Very good.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.